shipping. Purity will rush you your free bottle to try it out. You try it, you decide. You be the
WWIN and WWIN HD Baltimore. Online at mybaltimorespirit.com. Baltimore's praise, worship, and inspiration station. Spirit 1400.
Good afternoon, Baltimore, and welcome to the Truth and Love broadcast brought to you by the Glen Burnie Church of Christ. It's that time again. We hope you are going to be with us for the next 60 minutes and grab your Bible and some paper and something to write with, because we want you to direct our lesson today in studying God's Word by answering any questions that you may have of a religious nature, or even a comment. If you've seen something that you're curious about or you're wondering about or that shakes your faith, why don't you give us a call today, ask your question, and what we'll do is search the Scriptures to give you an answer for a stronger faith, a better foundation for your faith. And you're going to find that in God's Word. We're going to help you with that. So give us a call today. 410-481-1400 is the number to the station. This is a call-in question and answer program, and we love to hear from our listeners. When you call in, you need to understand that many other people may be thinking the same thing that you're thinking out there. So you're going to help a lot of people with your questions or your comments if you call in. Oftentimes, we get on to various subjects, and it spurs other ideas that you may have towards the end of the show. Sometimes the phones are a little busier, but this is a beautiful, sunny Saturday afternoon, and we hope that you are ready to study with us, and we encourage you to give us a call early in the broadcast today. We're here till 1 o'clock, but give us a call early. Write the number down, 410-481-1400, and give us a call to the station. And we've got Greg standing by on the phone, and we'll take your question either over the air if you'd like, or if you'd rather not do that, that's fine. We'll just write the question down, read it back to you, and then we'll all turn in the Scriptures to see what God has to say about it. Not so much what our opinion is or what we think is best for you, but we think God knows what's best for you, and we're going to try to give you some direction so that you can look in your very own Bible and get some ideas, get some insight into what you've been wondering about or questioning. If you're going to church, that's a wonderful thing. If you are not going to church but you're looking for a church to go to, we welcome you to meet with us. We meet at 2 Eastern Street in Glen Burnie. If you're doing a search on that, the zip code is 21061. 2 Eastern Street, very easy to find. Of course, we meet on the first day of the week, as the early Christians did, and we invite you to join us in our services. At 9:30, we meet together for Bible studies, and those are broken up into different classes, as there may be different ages or different needs. You're welcome to attend one of those, and we can help direct you to find the one that's best for you. At 10:30, we all gather together in our auditorium for our worship service. And if you can't make it on Sunday morning, we meet back together on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We have a worship service as well. You're welcome to all of our worship services. We'd love to have you come out and worship with us. And when you do, you will see a group of Christians trying to follow what God says is right. Not going beyond the Scriptures, and hopefully not falling short of what the Scriptures say, but trying to worship God in the right way. And that's the way that God tells us to worship Him. And we find many passages in the Bible that direct the worship of the early Christians, and often solving problems or rebuking them for incorrect worship. And we're not going to follow things that way. Unfortunately, a lot of churches do, and they don't even look at the Scripture to see what is wrong and what is right in worship. But we try to follow those things that are right, and we'd love to have you come join with us. That's 2 Eastern Street in Glen Burnie.
If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, call 410-761-3795. There's an operator standing by. He'll be happy to take your call. All it needs, your name and address. It's completely free, and it is a Bible correspondence course. We don't talk about George Washington. We don't talk about Abraham Lincoln. They were important men, but what really settles things is, what does God say? What is His opinion? And that's what you need to know. So call right now, 410-761-3795. And by the way, we have a number of different Bible correspondence courses. If you'd like to enroll in those, We have them on the Holy Spirit, on the Sabbath day. Nick's already said, well, we meet on the first day of the week. Why? Because that's what God commanded in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, through which His Son has spoken. You know, when you look at the covenant of Moses, you find that it was a covenant made only for the Jews, but now there's one for all men. That is the New Testament. The old has been done away with. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13. And so if you'd like to study how the old has been done away with, then call 410-761-3795. You know, this last week we were treated to a number of articles in the papers about a snake handler down in West Virginia who died. And there are a number of you who are listening to this radio broadcast who are Pentecostal. And you wonder, well, why did the man die? Well, it's because he didn't read his Bible. He didn't understand what the Bible had to say about it. And so he did something very foolish. And for that, he paid a penalty here, and later he'll pay a penalty there. And the reason is, he just didn't bother to read his Bible.
You know, Gary, I think he did read his Bible, but he didn't study his Bible. Because when you read the Bible, you will see that men handled snakes and got bit by poisonous snakes without effect. And I think that's where he stopped. He didn't study his Bible to see that, you know, that doesn't happen anymore, and people don't have that ability anymore.
You know, you're absolutely right, because the newspaper quoted Mark 16. It's really nice to see the Washington Post. That was the one that I was reading. Really nice to see them quoting the Bible. You know, that's a rather unusual circumstance these days. But they were quoting from Mark the 16th chapter, verses 17 and 18. And basically it says down here, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. But at verse 20 it says, they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. In other words, the word was confirmed by the signs that followed. And so those signs were to confirm the word. Well, are they given to us today? By the way, it also says that in Acts chapter 14 and verse 3. They confirmed the word by the signs that followed. In Acts the 28th chapter, we find that when Paul picked up a snake, a viper, he came out of the heat and fastened on his hand, and the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand and began saying to one another, undoubtedly this man is a murderer. And though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. However, he shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. Suffered no harm. Turns out that this man, Mark Wolford, had a number of snake bites, and he had a lot of problems. He had suffered seriously, and then they watched there. They just sat there and watched that man die. It's sort of, to my mind, assisted suicide. They all sat there and watched him die. And he should have known that he wasn't the Apostle Paul. He was not one of the ones who was being spoken to there in Mark, the 16th chapter. Because, as John says, when we turn over to 1 John chapter 3, we recognize that John tells us that we have touched, we have handled, and that's what we proclaim to you. Now, what you need to realize is that they had been given the word, and the word is completely given by the time that the apostles died. In fact, by 70 A.D., it appears that all of the New Testament books were written. And as you look at that, you say, well, if all the New Testament books were completed, then they had everything they needed, and we don't need a further revelation. We don't need to confirm the word. It has been confirmed. Now, it's very important that you recognize what's going on here. The word has been confirmed. Because, as 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter says, according as his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, if you'd like to know about all things, you need to study your Bible. Study it, not just read it. As Nick said, it's not enough to just sit there and read the Bible. We need to meditate on it. We need to ponder it. And then we need to make everything fit. That's what these Bible correspondence courses are about, helping you understand the Bible.
You know, so often people will read one thing, or a minister will get up there and put a whole lesson together on one verse. And if you don't know other verses, then you could be easily led astray. I mean, even Satan quoted scripture. So unless you know and study your Bible, you could easily be led astray. Like this guy, he could have stopped at one scripture and said, if he could do it, I could do it. And, you know, you could just see people saying there, well, maybe he didn't have enough faith. Maybe it wasn't his day. Maybe he didn't pray that day. Maybe he was sinning. You know, it's not any of that. Keep reading your Bible and see that, listen, you don't have this power anymore.
If you'd like to study the Holy Spirit, just call 410-761-3795 and ask for that Bible correspondence course. There's an operator standing by right now waiting for your call. That's 410-761-3795.
We had a caller that called in and wants to know about works in the church. And they say, what is a work? And that's one of the things that when we most talk about works, it's normally with somebody that believes that all you have to do is believe and you can be saved. And so a lot of times we go to James chapter 2, and I think this will give us an idea, though, here, because it shows examples of what people did for works. And I think sometimes, you know, and this question isn't really detailed, but sometimes what people get at when they call is that they think that works in the church are miraculous works. And I don't know if that's where this is going or if this is just truly a definition. So let's start in James chapter 2, and I'll read verses 19 to 26. It says, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So what we see here is two Old Testament examples of what they say of what a work is. And it's just simply doing something that is righteous. This is two examples of people who had great faith, but their faith was demonstrated by the fact that they followed up on their faith and did what the Lord would have them do. And so in the New Testament, when we see in the church, the works that we are to do are the things that we're commanded to do in the New Testament. So if the caller was looking for, does it have to be this? Are the works only the works, the miraculous works of the Holy Spirit? No, the works are the things that we do because of our faith. The things that we go out in the world and we preach to people and we are kind to people. And then in services, our works are things like singing and praising God, and teaching one another, and partaking of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, and giving as we've been prospered.
You know, if you have a question or comment, the number to call is 410-481-1400. And I kind of wish we had the caller online here, because there's so many different ways you can go with this question. First of all, when we talk about works, oftentimes, you know, we look at different impressions of religious types out there. And on one side of the spectrum, you have people that, like you said, are faith only. There's nothing you can do for your salvation. It's only by faith, and anything that you do, any step that you take, that's not going to save you. And then you have other people on the other side of the spectrum, and growing up Catholic, I sort of got this impression that, you know, your salvation is based on how good of a person you are, how many times you help that old lady across the street, how many good things that you do, and if those outweigh the bad deeds that you do, then you're kind of okay with things. And both of those are clearly unscriptural and wrong. So where do we fall, and what is the key to being justified, as we say? Well, it all has to do with Jesus Christ, and we have to understand that there is nothing that we can do to be good enough to be saved. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we have to embrace that and accept that and do what God says to become in a justified relationship with Him. You know, in one of the scriptures that we often point out is in John chapter 6, where it talks about a work, and that work is a belief in God. It says in verse 28, then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one who has sent him. So, in a sense, belief is a work. So, if you don't believe, how can you be saved? And people say that you're not saved by works. Well, this is one of the things that you have to do. You have to believe. And that brings up the other point that we often get into is baptism. People say, you're not saved by baptism because that's a work, and you're not saved by works. You're only saved by faith. Well, that's a misunderstanding of what we read in James, and it's a misunderstanding of the scriptures that it takes work to do this. Salvation is freely given, but we have to go and take it. We have to do things. Now, one of the things that we might want to talk about, because the question is works in the church. The church, in a sense, has a work too, but that's different from our individual response to God, because we need to do that individually to be justified. But there's a purpose of the church, and a lot of churches get this wrong as well. Our purpose as a church is not to cure the social ills that we see in the city or in our community, but it's to worship God, and we need to know how to do that in a scriptural manner. So there's a lot of ways we can go with this, and you know, give us a call back, 410-481-1400. If we're not hitting what your actual question is, maybe we can zero in on that a little bit better.
And, you know, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us what all of us are to do in the church. It says, beginning at verse 11, he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, as we look at this, we realize that each one of us has a responsibility. If we're an evangelist, if we're a pastor, or if we're a teacher, our work in the church is to build up the church. And we're to bring everybody to a unity of the faith. That is, we're all supposed to believe the same thing. This 2,500 churches that we have in the United States is sinful. In fact, Paul really condemns denominationalism at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 and following. How long are we going to have this work? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We have to continue in our work until we have the unity of the faith. But that's the work that the church is told to do. That is, we're to equip the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Again, the number here at the station is 410-481-1400. If you'd like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course about the New Testament church and its works, call 410-761-3795.
As we're again looking at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, there are several different people listed here. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. The apostles and the prophets were in the first century helping to teach and establish the truth. The evangelists and the pastors and the teachers we have today. But what's common in all of those? Each one of those positions that's identified in verse 11 have one thing in common, that is teaching other individuals. We have the evangelist preaching the word of God. We have the pastors feeding the flock for the truth that they need. We have teachers teaching the word of God. So each one of these that are identified in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 all have the requirement to teach another individual. Question is, what are they to teach? If we turn over to Matthew 28, start reading at verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What was involved in the Great Commission here? What does it say here in verse 20? Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So all we have in the work of the church today is the same thing here, is to teach all men the truth, to encourage them to remain faithful and strong. But the work of the church is to teach all men and save all men.
Again, the number here at the station is 410-481-1400. If you'd like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, call 410-761-3795. You know, again, in looking at this equipping for the saints for the work of service, one of the things that the Apostle Paul said the church at Philippi did, it was one of their works. It was a mission they took on. And they actually helped him. And as we think about their helping him, it's at Philippians chapter 4 at verses 15 and 16. He says, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. But even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek for the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account." They supported Paul as a gospel preacher. They were sending him money. They had given it. They were sending him money so that he might preach. Well, it says here the apostles are to equip the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. That's exactly what Paul was doing. And so it falls within the work of the church that they're going to support evangelists. And in that day, apostles. Of course, we don't have apostles today, because one of the qualifications from Acts chapter 1 and verse 21 is that an apostle be a witness of the risen Lord. Today, nobody knows what Jesus looked like, so you can't be an apostle today. But you can be a pastor or a teacher. And by the way, those pastors are specifically qualified. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications are given. Now, you may say, well, that's for bishops. Well, but the same group of men at Acts chapter 20 and verse 17 who are called elders are called bishops in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, and then they're told that they are to be overseers and they are to feed the flock or shepherd the flock of God. Well, that's the pastor. That's what a pastor does. And so when you look at that, these men are those who are married to one woman. So a woman can't be a pastor. A woman cannot be a bishop according to the scriptures. Now, there are a lot of churches around that don't read their scriptures very much and they don't study their scriptures very much. And they'll have women pastors and women deacons and women elders. And they'll do a lot of things that are not found in the scriptures. But as we look at the Word of God, we're supposed to bring everybody to a unity of the faith. How are we going to do that? It has to be on the basis of the Word of God. Because you have an opinion, I have an opinion, and yours is worth as much as mine is what you'll say. But neither of ours is worth as much as God's. And so we want you to recognize that we have to do God's will. That's why we push these Bible studies, these correspondence courses. Because we want you to know what God has to say in His Word. Not what some man decides, but what God has to say. And by the way, you can enroll in one of those. If you'd like one on the New Testament church, if you'd like one on women's work in the church, if you'd like one on the Holy Spirit, call 410-761-3795. There's an operator standing by right now waiting for your call. And you can enroll in one of those absolutely free. You may say, well, I've never heard such foolishness. Who said that women couldn't be pastors? God. Look again very carefully, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and following, and then read at 1 Timothy chapter 3 on the qualifications of the bishops and the elders. And then you can look in Acts chapter 20 at verses 17 and 28 and figure out exactly what elders are bishops were to do. That is, they were to pastor the flock. That's the word that's used. Again, the number here at the station is 410-481-1400. If you'd like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, call 410-761-3795. And as you study your Bible, try to put away the things that men have taught you and try to concentrate on what God is teaching you, so that you get exactly what God has to say.
You know, there are a lot of things that we see in the world as I guess, social injustices that we try to correct, and we try to make sure that people have equal chances to do things, and there's good in that. But one of the things that we need to make sure is that we don't say things that God hasn't commanded, that we don't teach things in the church that God doesn't approve of. And so while we certainly see that a woman's role in the workplace is equal to a man's in any way that she is capable to perform on an individual basis, as we look at everybody in this country, and we know that we should judge everybody on their individual talents to do something in the workplace, there are times in church, because of the rules that God set in place on how he wanted his church to be run, where we may have a talent that we don't need to use in services. Now, we can use that talent in the world. We can use that talent in our homes and with our friends. But in services, things are to be done a certain way. And, you know, God's pretty specific. And a lot of people like to disassociate the God of the New Testament with the God of the Old Testament. But it's the same God. He's the same being. And he feels the same way when we disobey. Now, he changed the rules in order to govern our hearts more than our actions. And he changed the rules in order to give us a way of salvation, but he did not change the way he feels about us ignoring his word. And so we need to be careful, and we need to look back to the story of Uzzah. When you look at Uzzah and you look at what he was trying to do on the simplest level, he just wanted to reach out and steady that ark. That Ark of the Covenant that was on the cart, and it was tipping over, and he just wanted to reach out and, oh no, there's something wrong. But what we see is that he was not allowed to touch it, and they were carrying the Ark improperly. And God struck him dead right then, right there, because of it. And so if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 6, you see, starting in verse 3, bring it up here. Starting in verse 3, they placed the Ark of God on a new cart that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the Ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Ahio was walking ahead of the Ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood and with lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence. And he died there by the Ark of God. And what we see there is Uzzah seemingly doing that right thing, seemingly doing what he thinks God would have him do. Don't let that ark hit the ground. Don't let the ark tip over and get smashed and destroyed. But God struck him dead for his irreverence, for ignoring what God said, for going against what God said. So we need to be careful in our services today that we don't take the things that are good in the world and bring them into services just because we think they should be there. We see what happens when we do what we think and not what God commands. And we need to not disassociate this Old Testament God who has shown his wrath over and over again with the God that we see as our loving and caring and nurturing father, because if you think about fathers, they are loving and caring and nurturing, but they also are disciplinary. They will correct actions that they see when they see their children going the wrong direction. And so we need to be very careful how we handle ourselves.